In the times of Chizkiyo HaMelech, says that Sancheirev came to besiege Jerusalem. He brought a massive army. They surrounded Jerusalem, and Chizkiyo went to bed. And Sancheirev was not only surprised, Chazal say he was very insulted. I've come with a big army to wage war, and Chizkiyo just goes to bed. So the Gemara, in fact, the Pasuk says, he asks the question, what's going on? Ma habitochin hazeh asher botochto. Why is he going to bed? Why is he so assured that everything will be just fine? I've just arrived with an enormous army. So the Gemara explains that the reason why he was so confident was because he went up and down the country and he put oil, shemen, in every Beis HaMedrash, so that they'll be able to light a light and learn Torah not only during the day, but even at night. And he took a sword, and he stuck a sword by the door of every Beis HaMedrash, and he said, call me She'einoi Oisek Batoiro. Anybody who's not involved in Oisek HaToiro will be stabbed with this cherev, with this sword. And indeed, his plan worked. It says they checked all over Eretz Yisrael, and every little child, boy or girl, were experts in the most intricate halachas of Tumah v'Tahara. Clearly, all of Klal Yisrael were learning Torah. So the famous question that's asked is, as important as Torah is, and it's very important, but not learning Torah, which is bittul Torah, as far as we are aware, is not punishable by the sword. So what did Chizkiyo HaMelech mean when he said, whoever doesn't learn Torah will be stabbed by this sword? Why? Yes, it's a terrible aveir not to learn Torah, but there's no punishment of being killed by the sword for not learning Torah. So some explain that this wasn't a punishment. Sancheirev was besieging Yerushalayim and he was threatening to kill Klal Yisrael with a sword. If you learn Torah, then that's the protection. If you don't learn Torah, then the sword of Sancheirev will indeed be matzliach. So it's not a punishment for not learning Torah. Rather, if you don't learn Torah, then that very sword, which is threatening anyway, will indeed be successful. But to the contrary, if you learn Torah, then that sword will have no power. And indeed, as we know, that's how the story came to an end. Because at midnight, a malach came along. We mentioned this on the Leil HaSeder, Vayibachatzi Alaylo, and wiped out the entire army of Sancheirev. Klal Yisrael were victorious without having to shoot a single bullet. That's the Koyach HaTorah. That's the Koyach HaTorah. Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer, who has his famous Sfarim called Even HaOzel, on all of the Chalokim of the Rambam. So one of the volumes of his colossal work was actually produced during the Holocaust. That's when it was published. And if you look in the introduction, he writes there that this might sound strange, this might look strange, when all of Europe is up in flames. Who's got the presence of mind to learn? And why am I putting out this sefer of all times? Why am I putting it out now? And he writes there, Aval be'emes ein kan she'ela. It's not a question that needs an answer, but rather, it's not a question at all. To the contrary, Torah is compared to water. And when there's a burning fire, it's that water of Torah that puts out the fire. And he quotes the famous story. The story is recorded in the Gemara. It says that when Yeshua went to battle, a malach came once again with a sword and said, I've come with a very big complaint. Why are you not learning Torah? Sounds like a bizarre question. Why am I not learning Torah? I'm busy fighting a battle. But because the malach came with that sword, So therefore, Yeshua immediately turned around and it said he learned Torah. So Rabbi Zalman explained that Talmud Torah is not merely a mitzvah where you can apply the regular rules. Ha'oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha'mitzvah. Klal Yisrael were involved in a battle, so surely they're involved in a mitzvah. They're potter from Talmud Torah. And the answer is, they're potter from other mitzvahs. The Talmud Torah is in fact the most potent weapon of Klal Yisrael. So precisely at a time of war, that's when you should be involved in milchama. And that's why the Malach had a timer. And therefore said the Eben Ha'Ozlo, Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer, that this is precisely the time to publish a Sefer of Iyun, of Limud Torah, because that's going to be our greatest success. Let me just tell you, some of you may have heard this from me before, but it's a very, very important story. There is a Rav who actually comes to Bet Shemesh quite often, a Sfaradi Rav, comes to Aleph, comes to Gimel. His name is Rabbi Shlomo Zafrani, Shlita, a Sfaradi Rav, a very big Talmud Chacham. So one occasion he came to Ramah Aleph and I went to hear a shir of his, and he said the following. He said, I was a Bacha learning in the Ponovitch Yeshiva in the Six-Day War in 1967, 56 years ago. In those days, obviously, the communication and the technology was not what it is today. And in order to receive updates, what was happening in those very tense moments, so Bachrim had to leave the Beis HaMedrash, go to their rooms and turn on their old-fashioned transistor radios to hear the latest news. They would then come back into the Beis HaMedrash, they would update everybody else, then the next people would leave, and they would go out, and they would hear the latest news, and they would come back, and this was causing a rifyon, it was causing a weakness in the Hasmada of Torah, because everybody was busy running in and out, listening to the news. So they decided in the Ponovitch Yeshiva, they need to be mechazik the Bochrim. How did they do so? They called in the very famous Magid and Baal Musa, Rabbi Yankel Galinsky, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, that he should give a Musa Shmuz in order to be mechazik the Bochrim. This is what I'm hearing from Rabbi Zafrani. He said, I was there at the time. Rabbi Yankel Galinsky arrived in Yeshiva and he said, I hear the Bochrim have been leaving the Beis HaMedrash, turn on the radio, hear the news. He said, I just want to explain to you how bizarre and how comical that is. Of course, Rabbi Yankel Galinsky, as we know, had a terrific sense of humor. But he explained, he said, imagine there on the front line, battle is being waged, and we've come now to the moment of truth, where the army need to decide now to make a crucial decision. Are we going to now launch the big bomb and bomb the enemy, and that will hopefully end the war, but on the other hand, there's a risk of casualties. Maybe it'll backfire. This is the decision. This is the moment that could really dictate the entire course of the war, and everybody, all the soldiers are waiting for instruction. And all of Klal Yisrael around Eretz Yisrael and around the world are all waiting with bated breath. What's the decision going to be? And there on the front line, the two generals who are discussing it, and they cannot come to a conclusion. The pros, the cons, the ups, the downs, the pluses, the minuses. What should we do? Should we advance? Should we bomb the enemy? Should we not bomb the enemy? And they cannot come to a conclusion. And meanwhile, the tension in around the world is just unbearable. Everybody's waiting. What's going to be? What's going to happen? And these two army generals just cannot come to a maskana. So one of them says to the other one, you know what? I've got a good idea. Why don't we turn on the radio and we'll listen to exactly what happens? Says the second one, I don't understand what you mean. What do you mean? Whatever we decide over here, that's what's being reported on the radio. How bizarre to say, let's turn on the radio to hear the news, where in fact, we're the ones making the news. Whatever we decide, that's what's going to be broadcast. So Rabbi Yankel Galinsky said exactly the same over here as well. how bizarre and almost comical. You're leaving the Beis HaMedrash to turn on the radio to hear the news. You, inside the Beis HaMedrash, are actually making the news. Because the more you learn, that's our koyach. That's the mayim of Torah that will put out the esh of milchama. So how bizarre it is to go out of the Beis HaMedrash in order to hear the news on the radio. You're here making the news. In fact, someone just told me on Friday that one of the Israeli soldiers said so beautifully, my job is to do the hishtadlus. I've got to take a gun and point it in the right direction. And if and when necessary, I have to shoot. But where that bullet goes and whether it'll be successful, that's being decided in the yeshivas. That's what this soldier said. So therefore, we absolutely understand that in a situation like this, we have thousands and thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands, literally, who have been drafted and fighting the Mesiras Nefesh and doing their Hishtadlus, which is absolutely necessary in the Rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No less important is the Hishtadlus of those who are not there, ourselves included. We have to do our Hishtadlus as well. In our shul, we had a memorable Shabbos just yesterday, where I wrote a letter to the Kehillah and I said, listen, there are those being Moisa Nefesh, we have to be Moisa Nefesh as well. Just your cursory perek of Tehillim after davening is not really a great Mesiras Nefesh, as heartfelt as that may be. I would like to see the entire Kehillah coming to the Beis HaMedrash Friday night after the meal until late. Until 11 o'clock, we had a packed Beis HaMedrash on Friday night. Shabbos afternoon from 3 o'clock, I said, yes, people will have to cut short their Shabbos afternoon naps. You know, there are those on the front line who don't have a privilege of going for a nap, and some of their parents, and I've spoken to them, are not sleeping at all at nights. And once again, Baruch Hashem, the Beis HaMedrash was packed. We made a Shabbos Bereishis Kiddush, but we said Tehillim before, Tehillim after. Everybody feels, every one of us feels, I spoke to a cousin of mine, of my wife, who's got 20 members of her extended family. Sons, sons-in-law, nephews, all out there fighting. And I told her, you know, we're making a Seder Limud. And that was a tremendous chizuk for her. And she just said to me, you know, the critical thing at this moment is every member of Klal Yisrael has to do their bit. For some people, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, they should be on the front line. And some, even if they're not on the front line, but they've been drafted nonetheless. But those who are not, ourselves included, so we have to do our bit. And our bit means more than the norm. More than the norm. So the fact that we are convening here, Baruch Hashem, 8:45 to 9:25 is wonderful. But we have to put in more effort than the norm. And I would humbly suggest that we should all not just try to make time, but to make time. But to make time throughout the course of the day to add extra minutes or hours of learning that we can during the day. Klal Yisrael need our limud Torah, the Torah protects. And Be'ezus Hashem, it's already been pointed out that you might be aware, you might not be aware, but the yeshivas all went back a week early. It was unprecedented, unprecedented for them to be mevatel ben hazmanim, but all of the yeshivas went back, some on Sunday, some on Monday. My boys went back early last week, and it was pointed out that Be'ezus Hashem, Baruch Hashem, even though we're still in the midst of this terrible, terrible tragedy, but from the beginning of last week, at least things calmed down a little bit. When yeshivas go back, we have the Zechus HaTorah. Today, the yeshiva Ketanos are going back and the Koilulim are resuming. All of our Sidrei Limud are resuming. So Be'ezus Hashem, we hope that this week there'll be further Besuros Tovos and whatever needs to be done on the front line will be done Bahatzlacha. Those who are taken will be returned alive and healthy and well, Mitz Hashem B'korev Mamish. And Mitz Hashem, we hope all of you, maybe not Nachum, but all of you are older than me, and I don't remember, I was not born then, but you all remember the Six-Day War. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can end the war in 6 days, he can end it in 4 days and in 3 days, and Yeshua Hashem Kerefayin. So they're talking about, from what I understand, a ground invasion, whenever that will be. Who knows? It could be all over in a day, 2 days, whatever it should be. The Hatzlacha should be with Klal Yisrael. It should be the Bezchus HaTorah. And yet again, all of you remember, I don't, I wasn't born, but the Yom Kippur War, even though ultimately Klal Yisrael was successful, but in our dictionary, there's no such term as successful when you lose 1,000 lives. There's no such thing. Successful means that no lives were taken. So whatever happens in the situation, and that's what I believe happened in the Yom Kippur War as well, even though ultimately they were victorious, but the price was just too heavy to pay. So ultimately, we hope there will be Besuras Tevis at the end of the Milchama, but not forgetting that the price that we have already paid is unbearable. But we hope and we feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done this in order to be Mechazikas, and all the Chizukim that everybody is taking on, and many have pointed out, the Achdus in Klal Yisrael is something that I don't know if any of us remember in our lifetimes. I spoke to somebody in London last night, and he said to me comically, who would have thought I'd see the day where Satma Hasidim were making tzitzis for soldiers on the front line? But you know, in times of Milchama, it brings everybody together, and differences that sometimes do pull us apart are for the moment put aside. We all just see the best in each other, and we want to help each other. And this is exactly what we're doing now. We're trying to help Achinu B'nei Yisrael. We're helping ourselves with the Koyach HaTorah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send us Mitzvah Hashem. B'surah is Tevais, and should be B'korev Mamash Mitzvah Hashem.
Amen.
Okay, so we're learning the Gemara in Sanhedrin. We're beginning a new sugya now. And we are in the Gemara on Daf, Chof, Beis, Omed, Beis. Excuse me, Chof Aleph, Omed, Beis. Chof Aleph, Omed, Beis. In order to understand the Gemara, let's just revisit once again. We just have a few minutes left, but let's have a look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah further on in the Omer, further up in the Omer, towards the end said, "V'koisev loy sefer Torah lishmoy." We're learning the halachas of a melech who takes Klal Yisrael to Milchama. So one of the halachas we've learned until this point, all the various isurim, can't have too many wives, too many horses, and too much money. But now we're talking about not the isurim, but the mitzvahs. And the mitzvah of the melech is that he has to have a sefer Torah. V'koisev loy sefer Torah lishmoy. Yoytze lemilchama, says the Mishnah, when he goes out to war, moytzi yoyimoy, takes a sefer Torah with him. Nichnas hu, machnis yoyimoy. When he comes back in, takes a sefer Torah with him, wherever he is. Yoyshev badin, hu imoy. Meisev, hu konegdoy, when he's eating, it's right there. Shenemaz, it says, V'hoiso imoy v'kora boy kol yimei chayav. Now, we need to immediately point out, even before we see the Gemara, that the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is not unique to a melech. Everybody has a mitzvah, min ha-Torah, it's the last of the 613 mitzvahs, to write a Sefer Torah. V'ato kisvu lochemes ha-shira ha-zois. So what's unique about the Kohen Gadol? If the Mishnah says the Koisev Loi Sefer Torah, one has to write a Sefer Torah for him, why is that special? Everybody has to write a Sefer Torah. So as we're going to see in the Gemara, that what's unique is that he has to have two Sefer Torah. Everybody has to write one. He has to write two. Everybody has to one Sefer Torah, but there's no halacha for a regular person that they have to walk around with a Sefer Torah. When they go here, they go there. When they're eating, there's no halacha that you have to be constantly accompanied by your Sefer Torah. But with regard to the melech, that's a special halacha, and that only pertains to his unique second Sefer Torah that we're going to see right now in the Gemara. So have a look in the Gemara. It's towards the bottom on the very, very wide lines, on the seventh very wide line, first word on the line, v'ksiv. Says the Gemara, v'koisev sefer Torah lishmoy. Tana. We've learned in a braisa, it says, u'bil v'had, providing that, if he wants to be a kindness mitzvah, you have to make sure, Shaloi yisnoe b'shel avoisov. He should not, as it were, take pride in his avoisov, in his father's Sefer Torah, which means if he has a Sefer Torah which is inherited from his father, he should not take pride in that and say, ah, so I don't now need to write a Sefer Torah because I have one already. No, no, no. That's why it says in the Mishnah, the Kois of Lo, Sefer Torah Lishmo, it's got to be for him, not the one that was written for his father and that he inherited. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Omar Rava. Some of the gears at the side, Omar Rabo. Afal pi, even though shehinichu loy avoisov lo'odom, we're not talking about a melech now. Even though somebody's parents may have left him a sefer Torah, nonetheless, mitzvah lichtoiv mishaloi, it is nonetheless a mitzvah to write his own. Now, let's not get confused. We were just talking a moment ago about the melech's mitzvah to write a sefer Torah, and that's when the Gemara said in the Braisa that he should not take pride in his father's sefer Torah. Rava or Rabba is not talking about the melech's sefer Torah. That's why he said afal pi she'enichu lo yavoisov la'odom. Maybe you should underline the word la'odom. It doesn't say la'melech, la'odom, for a regular person. So if a regular person was left a Sefer Torah by his parents, by his father, it is nonetheless a mitzvah lichtoiv mishaloi. How do you know? Shenema, because it says in the Torah, va'ato, and now, kisvu lochem, underline the word lochem, es hashira hazeh. You have to write the shir lochem for you. That word lochem is seemingly superfluous. It surely could have just written, va'ato, now you have to write a Sefer Torah. What does that mean, kisru lochem? The answer is, if you have a Sefer Torah, which you've inherited from your father, do not rely on that. You've got to write one for you. Fine. So if that's the case, we now need to ask ourselves a question. So what was this Braisa, and what was the Mishnah pointing out when it said there's a mitzvah for the melech to write a Sefer Torah, and he shouldn't rely on his father's Sefer Torah. What's so unique about a melech? After all, Rabbah has just told me that's halacha for la'odom, for every single member of Klal Yisrael. And that's the Gemara's question. Says the Gemara, Eisvei Abaye. So Abaye asked the following question. We have a Mishnah, it says, V'koisev loy sefer Torah lishmoy. What does lishmoy mean? You've got to have a sefer Torah which is written for the melech, for him, lishmoy, for him. Sheloy yisno'eh b'shel achirim. End of quote. And that he should not take pride in his father's sefer Torah. That sounds like a halacha which is a specific halacha that pertains to a king. But now you're telling me that it pertains to everybody. Says the Gemara, don't understand. Melech in, comma. A melech, yes. Hedyot, loy. But a regular person, not. If you tell me that a king has the right to save a Torah and he should not rely on his fathers, it all sounds like you're telling me specific halachas which are unique to a king and not for a hediot. Well, then you just went and told me that every single person in Klal Yisrael has the right to the Sefer Torah and can't rely on the Sefer Torah that he had inherited from his father. So what's going on? Is it unique to a king or it's not unique to a king? Says the Gemara. Lo, you got it all wrong. Lo, it's richa. L'shtei Torahs. What's unique about the melech is not the fact that he has to write a Sefer Torah, not the fact that if he has one from his father, he cannot rely on that. That's not unique. That's true for everybody. What's unique about the melech is he has to have shtei Torahs. Shtei Torahs. Have a look at Rashi. It's six lines from the bottom of the Omer. L'shtei Toiris. Ho, d'shani melech mehed yoytis. That which we say that a melech is different from a hedyot, it's different to a regular person, it's not that he's different, that he has to write a sefer Torah and other people don't need to. Everybody needs to. So what is the difference? The ilu hayahedyot, because had he just remained a regular person, sagi le b'choda, then it would have sufficed with one comma. But u melech bo itarti. But a king needs two Sifrei Torah. So there's nothing unique in the fact that a melech has to write a Sefer Torah. There is nothing unique in the fact that he can't rely on his father's Sefer Torah. What's unique about him is, over and above the standard Sefer Torah that every member of Klal Yisrael has to write, which, as we said before, you do not need to walk around with, the melech has to write an additional Sefer Torah. And that's what the Gemara continues now. The Gemara says, Ukud Tanya, as indeed we have learned in a Braisa, the Kosav Lo, Yes Mishnah Torah, etc., etc., Koisev Lishmoy, Shtei Torahs. He's got to write for himself two Sifrei Torah, Achas Shehi Yoitza V'Nichneses Imoy. One that he goes out and goes in is always accompanied by the Achas Shemunachas Loi, the Beis Gnozo. And one that he is not walking around, but rather it's hidden, it's kept safely, like in an Aron HaKodesh, like everybody else. Oy Sosha Yoitzeis V'Nichneses Imoy. The one that's going in and out with him, he's always accompanying him, he's got to be careful. We're skipping out of the parenthesis. Einoi nichnas bo, but he can't, however, enter loy lebeis hamerchatz. You can't enter a bathhouse with a sefer Torah. V'loy lebeis hakisei, neither to the bathroom. Shenema v'hoiso imoi v'koro boy. It says he's got to be with you in order that you should read from it. What do I learn from there? Mokoim horo'u likreis boy. You only take it to a place where it is appropriate to read from. You cannot read from a Sefer Torah in a Beis HaMerchatz, neither in the Beis HaKisei. And therefore, if the Torah says, V'kosav loy Mishnah Torah, look at Rashi, Mishnah Shtayim B'mashma. What is the translation? Like on Shabbos, we have Lechem Mishnah. Mishnah from the word Shnayim. So a Kohen Gadol has to have two Sefer Torah. One that's kept safely at home like everybody else. One that always accompanies him, except when he enters the Beis HaMerchatz and the Beis HaKisei. Yeah.
Is it possible that it's two chiyuvim? Before he was king, he had a chiyuv to make his own Torah. And now once he becomes a king, so he has another chiyuv to make a Torah as a king.
Correct.
So therefore, he has two Sefer Torahs.
Correct. Correct. That means, presumably, before he was appointed a king, let's assume he had a Sefer Torah anyway. So now when he becomes a king, he's not mechuyev to write two Sifrei Torah, which means a king is actually mechuyev to write one Sefer Torah. As a member of Klal Yisrael, you also have to write one Sefer Torah. Altogether, that's two, but it's not that a king has a double chiyuv. A king has a singular chiyuv over and above the regular chiyuv. Okay, well, hold on.
By the way, this goes great with what you said earlier, because he's got to take it to war. It's his biggest weapon.
Excellent. Yeah, I was thinking that. Great. Okay, shall a good chaydash, everybody, and we'll reconvene tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem, we share the Surah's Tavis.
Amen.